if any of you remember the hymn sing yesterday, the brethren in human vapor forgot to ask anyone to lead the sing. And I was speaking to my father just a few minutes ago, and he mentioned that we had neglected to ask anyone to speak tonight. So I'll share a few words in less, and perhaps a brother has something on their heart that they really feel burdened to share. I would be happy to stand by and to have that shared. But we can have a word of prayer and then see if one has that burden. Our loving God and our Father, please help as thy word will be opened. We desire a word from thy heart for our hearts. I think of all that we've had before us this weekend, and we thank thee for it. And just ask for a little portion as we go our separate ways so shortly. And thank you for each one who's been able to be here at this thing, and just that we've been able to express ourselves in song to thee, our Father, and to thee, Lord Jesus. So we thank thee and ask thy help. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If anyone has anything, they can let me know. Otherwise, I'll continue.
Maybe a little something, John.
Thank you.
Get your help over.
A little disjointed because it is kind of spur of the moment. I've been enjoying a little bit of a few things in a prophetic character. A man at work came to me, I think he's a believer, and he said to me, "Do you like prophecy?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We're reading in Revelation." He says, "No," he said, "Do you like prophecy?" And I said, "Well, yeah. Well, you like prophecy meetings?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I do." I said, "Then our little meeting where I meet with believers, we're going through the book of Revelation." He said, "No." He says, "I mean prophecy. You know, like Jimmy DeSantis. He was driving down the road and a jet flew over. And he looked up and saw that jet. And the Lord said to Jimmy, he said, 'Jimmy, you see that jet? Would you like a jet like that?' 'Lord, I can't afford it.' 'Oh, I didn't ask you if you could afford it. I asked you if you wanted it.' So that's prophecy." I said, "No, I don't. That's not prophecy I'm thinking about." But anyway, I've been really enjoying a little portion we've been reading at home, and it's the Psalms of Degrees. Just want to pick out a few verses. The Psalms of Degrees are when God restores Israel in the coming day, the 10 tribes that are scattered and lost now, and they come back to Jerusalem. And God is going to, well, let's turn to a verse in Romans. And this is the kind of the verse that I'm thinking about. Romans and chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. There shall come, for as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." This was touched on a little bit at the very beginning of our readings this weekend. And God is not going to change his mind about Israel. Though they're set aside for now, there's a day coming when they're going to be brought back into blessing. And he's going to do it through ways that are going to bring in judgment. We're not going to look at the scriptures, but we know in Israel's history they split into two. You remember? Right after Solomon, there were two tribes that stayed with the house of David, Judah and Benjamin, and the rest of the tribes went with Jeroboam and split off, and they quickly fell into idolatry. God allowed them to be carried away captive. Do you know where they are today? Nobody knows. You know, if you talk to people in Israel, there's some that have tried to find where they are. They kind of actually do know a little bit, because they know where they settled, and they know there's some in northern India, still have Jewish customs, still use Jewish names, this and that, but they don't want to have anything to do with the current state of Israel. But they're scattered throughout that part of the world. They're kind of lost, out of sight. They sometimes call them the lost tribes. And there's been a lot of speculation over time, you know, that they were the ancient Indians, or they were this or that, or whatever. But the two tribes that stayed with the house of David, they went the same path eventually and fell into idolatry, and God brought judgment on them, and they were carried away captive to the land of Babylon. God allowed them to be restored, a little group of them, back to the land of Israel, and was brought out in order to receive the King, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, when he came. But what did they do? They rejected him, put him on that cross, and God allowed the Romans to come, destroy the city of Jerusalem. Many of them were crucified. Many were taken away and sold as slaves. But they remained distinct as a people. They were called Jews. Do you know where the name Jew comes from? Anybody know? It comes from the tribe of Judah. The person of Judah, Jews. And so those two tribes that stayed faithful to the house of David, they became what we know in the world today as Jews. And they were the ones, those two tribes, Judah, were the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus. They're especially responsible. And so in the tribulation, when God brings judgment upon Israel, it's really upon the Jews. It's especially upon those who are the descendants of the tribes that were in the land, Judah and Benjamin, when the Lord was crucified. And many of them are going to be apostates, complete unbelievers having turned their back on God. And there's going to be a few among them that are faithful, a little remnant. And when God brings judgment on that land, he's going to bring an enemy that's called the King of the North, the Assyrian, and he's going to come down. And when he comes down with his armies, it's almost going to be a supernatural attack. You know, an army normally be coming along and somebody's going to trip on their shoelaces or somebody's going to bump into the other guy and things aren't going to go perfect, right? Not this time. There isn't one that's going to trip. Nobody's going to bump into anybody. Nobody's going to lose anything. Nothing. This army is going to come down through. Their scripture describes them like spiders able to climb over walls and into windows and whatever. They're going to be so agile. And wherever they find a Jewish person, they're going to kill them. If they went in a house and a Jewish family, there were three bedrooms and they hid in one of the bedrooms, and the enemy only had time to open one door, they will always open the door where they're behind. They'll never make a mistake. It's going to be a flawless attack. The only ones who will be preserved through that are the faithful remnant. All the rest will die. And in that way, with those two tribes, God will take care of all the unbelievers among the Jews. The only ones who will be left will be the faithful. But it says here, all Israel shall be saved. What about the other 10 tribes? What's going to happen with them? Well, I want to look back at a couple of verses about all Israel being saved, three of them in the Old Testament, two in Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 59. You don't have a Bible, you don't have to. I'll just read it. Isaiah 59. And it says, verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come from Zion unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, that is thy children, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed, or thy children's children, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Not one of these of the faithful remnant are going to depart from the Lord. Their children aren't going to depart from the Lord, and their grandchildren aren't going to depart from the Lord, no matter how many generations you want to go, all through the millennium. And then in chapter 60, verse 21, it says, thy people also shall be all righteous. All righteous. Can you imagine that? A people, not one of them or any of their children are ever going to depart from the Lord. They're all going to be righteous. Daniel is the third verse I want to look at in chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, he's an angel, archangel, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So he's talking about the tribulation and when that army comes down through Israel and destroys all the unbelievers among the Jews. Time of Jacob's trouble. But he says, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that is found written in the book. Who are those that are written in God's book of life? Only those who are real believers. Those are the ones who will be delivered, not the rest. But he goes on to say something else. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there's these ones that are going to be saved, and then there's some, he says, after this, that are going to wake out of the dust of the earth. Who's he talking about now? He's talking about the other 10 tribes that are lost today. Nobody knows where they are. They're lost in the dust of the nations. And all of a sudden, they're going to wake back up. And some are going to come into blessing. This is the everlasting life of the Old Testament. It just means to live on and on through however long the millennium is. We know it's 1,000 years, but they didn't. However long the kingdom lasts, they will live. That's everlasting life of the Old Testament. But some are going to wake to shame and contempt. What is God going to do? After that judgment on those two tribes, and all the unbelievers are cleaned out, and a little faithful remnant is preserved to stay in the land under the reign of the Lord Jesus, then the 10 tribes are going to get woken up in all their places where they are, and God is going to bring them back into that land. And when you start with the 120th Psalm, I think it's through 139, they're called Psalms of Degrees, or like steps, and it's the steps of those 10 tribes back to Jerusalem. Let's look at a couple of those. It starts out with saying in the 120th Psalm, verse 5, woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, and that I dwell in the tent of Kedar. You know where Meshech is?
Moscow.
Moscow. That's right. That's Russia. So there's some of the scattered tribes that are up in Russia somewhere. And the tents of Kedar, I think that's Arab nations. Oh, we've long dwelled here. They wake up. We've been here a long time. And this is not a good place. You know, the Lord, when he comes and first appears in Mount of Olives and reigns in Jerusalem, and that little remnant is preserved in, of the first two tribes under, there's still a lot of things going to happen. And as these 10 tribes come back and they wake up, they look around, they got enemies all around them. They're in the middle of Russia and other places. And it says in the end of the Psalm, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. They've got enemies. And then the next Psalm is, where are we going to get help? They look up to the hills, they say, the Lord's going to be our help. And then they get ready to go. In Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And they start encouraging each other to go back. To go back. But you know, a long time ago, they split with their brethren. They split. And so, not only is God going to bring them back, but he's going to bring them together. He's going to bring them together. And so we come all the way over. We're not going to look at all those songs. And we finally come to where they get back to Jerusalem. And it says in the 133rd Psalm, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God is going to heal that split from so long ago. And when they get back to Jerusalem, they're going to dwell together with their brethren in unity. That's what the Lord is looking for. Not only to restore them back to Jerusalem. But we read that not only do some wake out of the dust of the nations to everlasting life, but some wake to shame and contempt. Oh, what's that? Well, let's turn to Ezekiel. Been really enjoying this chapter. Ezekiel chapter 37. Is anybody, I don't know, I suppose most, have you read The Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel? Have you ever read that in your readings? Have you read that? You like that? I think it's a wonderful chapter. It's quite a thrilling chapter when you look at it. And so I hope I don't embarrass myself, but I'd like to read it how I think it sounds. So, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So here's this valley, and you look, it's full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. That's the 10 tribes. Revived back up out of the nations like life from the dead. And then the Lord says to him, son of man, you know, this is said, I think, with such pity and such tenderness. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The next little picture in Ezekiel is he says, take two sticks. One is like those two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other is like the 10 lost. And he says, burn them together, and they're going to become one stick in my hand. One more verse to look at before we close. Ezekiel 20. So that is a beautiful picture of how God is going to wake those nations, those 10 tribes up and bring them back into that land. But on the way back, something happens. Something happens. Very solemn. Ezekiel 20, verse 34. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm with fury poured forth. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Verse 38 is what I was really thinking of. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. That great army, raised out of the dust of the nations, the valley of dry bones, is going to march back to Jerusalem and learn all the lessons of the Psalms of Degrees till they dwell in unity with the brethren. But before they go in that land, the Lord, like a shepherd, is going to make everyone pass under his rod of examination, and any that are rebellious against him, he's going to purge them out, and they're never going to enter that land. Those who do are all going to be real, all believers. And that's why it can be said in Romans, and so shall all Israel be saved. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we just pray that our hearts might be encouraged as we think of the richness of what thou hast unfolded to us, and thy word is to thy purpose. And in the coming day, in the restoration of thy people, whom thy heart longs over even this very day. And so we just pray that we might be encouraged to dig in a little more to thy precious word and just uncover these little treasures for the enjoyment of our own hearts and communion with thee as we see thy purpose in our Lord Jesus Christ, when he will come to reign and be glorified in his saints in this earth. So we ask this, giving thanks in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sorry. Our God and our Father, we thank you for a little time to have some fellowship together and these refreshments provided. Thank you for the kindness of our brother and sister to open their home and commend ourselves to thee for the rest of the evening. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.